You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Really want inside can only come from you. Yeah. take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you enjoyed the weekend. Hope you enjoyed the game last night. Yeah. If you were a Chiefs fan, you did. If you're a San Francisco fan, although I seen one that was great. It was Colin Kaepernick. Remember Miss Seeley, until you do right by me, everything you do. So he said, because you didn't do right by me, that's why you ain't going to win the championship. And they haven't. And I love it. Well, of course, he played in the Super Bowl against Baltimore, and they lost that one. But, you know, they lost the last two to Kansas City. And what was interesting, on Facebook, there was a piece that showed 2020 when they beat San Francisco for the Super Bowl in 2020. And then they showed 2024. Everything. Now, I got to do the research because I don't know if that is true or not. But that everything that was done then, you know, yeah, was done again. I wish I had the list because, you know, from scores and so forth and so on. But, yeah, sometimes things happen that way, you know. Sometimes things happen that way. And I was looking for a couple of things that I saw and – I tell you, I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but sometimes these Instagrams, these messengers, all of this, you have it and then you don't have it. So, I don't know. So, this is turning into whatever you want to talk about. Because I had some ideas and things I was going to discuss and so forth. And, of course, I can't pull my stuff off the computer. That's not working. So, you know, we're in a situation here that, that I'm trying to rectify. But this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, family, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. You don't have to mess with TuneIn no more. Just go to timeforanawakening.com. And so when you go to timeforanawakening.com, at the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And also, too, when you go to timeforanawakening.com, at the right side of the page will be the link to listen to the radio program. This program is live. Most of the programs that you see on Time for Radio are recorded. No, we only have this program, and I'm not sure if Mississippi on Thursdays from 7 to 8 on Thursdays, Mississippi on the Move is still happening with
Patrick Lumumba. And then Friday, Time for an Awakening at from 8 o'clock. And then Saturday, the Sankofa Elders Council at 7, from 7 to 9. And then Sunday at 7 o'clock. Now, I know he sends out an email if he's going to have somebody as a guest on this program. And usually it's Sunday. He plays a previous program on Friday most times. Not all the time, but most times. And so Sunday he has a live program from 7 until. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Also, too, for me, if you want to get the latest programs, just go to the search engine of your choice, Firefox, you know, this search engine, Bing, whatever, and then put in the search, babaoshi.net. BABAOSHI.net, BabaOshi.net. And once again, there'll be programs that are dated and titled. All right. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. See, my screen isn't working, so I'm going off the car. But Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tahim. But if you want to see pictures of previous tours, just go to the website and you get all the information about what's happening and what's coming up. But if you want to see photos, go to Facebook.com/Bamani. Facebook.com/Bamani. And there'll be pictures of previous tours. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007, and you can see videos of those previous tours. Outstanding. Habesha, HabeshaIncorporated.org, and that's a good program that they have. It was great to be at their at their awards, where they gave out awards for brothers and sisters who work with Habesha and who assist them in their programming. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier. No, Wadada. Let me talk about Wadada's first. That's my order, usually. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy, across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna and the West End Mall, right all there in the West End that is about to be gentrified. Yeah. Give Wadada's a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore. Mama Nia. Love her. She has a lot of space now. She also has access to the room downstairs where she can do book signings and presentations and so forth. And so give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote, of course, is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta, right off of I-20 going east. And you can give Brother Gazimde Ajamu a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. 6373. Now, once you got off on off of I-20, off of exit 74, and made a left onto Main Street in Lithonia and visited the Black Dot, jump back in your right, turn back the other way. Now you're going south, and you make another left onto I-20. And the very next exit 75, Turner Hill Road, make a right. Three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, every Thursday night, the Thursday night broadcast of Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's Blog Talk blacktalkradio.com/ULU, and you can get the program. But if you want to call to listen, or you want to call to give questions, comments, or concerns, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. They're not open today. They're not open today. They don't open on Mondays, but from Tuesday through Sunday, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the evening, Brother Bija Changa, he's open at the Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. The number to call is 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225, give my good sister Shelly Armand a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Aidi, Sister Gabrielle really is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti near the border with Dominican Republic. Yuck. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, Sanjay, dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, Sanjay, dash Haiti.org. All right, family. Baba Baruti, Mama Ya, you know, they're doing their thing because that's what they're supposed to do with Ackerman Institute. I stopped by because I'm having trouble with my account. So I stopped by and dropped off my contribution, my monthly contribution to Ackerman Institute, you know. And but you can use PayPal. You can use Cash App to make your contributions. Also, too, you can buy the books that Baba Baruti kicks out on a consistent basis. Go to AckermanHouse.com, AckermanHouse.com, and get those books. One of the books, of course, that I read every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is the Enyasasim, the Enyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 11th. Children have an enormous capacity to adapt to insanity. Nathan McCall. One of the most astonishing things one observes when looking out over the conscious community is the child rearing strategies among parents claiming to be centered and revolutionary. These individuals claim to be fully aware that we are at war, a military arena in which there are no civilians. A genocidal violence that has been waged against us since almost our very first contact with Urugu, and which has never de-escalated, but are giving their children a choice as to whether they want to be prepared to fight or not. There are no civilians in war. There has never been a real war where this option has been made available or even considered a viable option by any individuals under attack, with the possible exception of traitors. And they, of course, know to keep that decision private. Those kind of choices are not available in war, because those who truly know that they're involved in a life-death struggle for the survival and sanity of their people know that war does not offer these kinds of open-ended options for any generation, living or transitioned. Ashe. Affirm, I eliminate the need for our children to adapt to insanity. I rear warriors. February 12th. Heritage is so strong among Africans that they find it difficult to believe that someone would reach a point in life where they would no longer know their heritage. To an African, heritage and family history is everything. And even a man on his dying bed could tell his ancestry with his last dying breath. Anna Swanson. If there are no elders, there is no community. There may be reactionary groupings who appear to have organized themselves in this way. But for us, for Africans, community has always been understood as all-encompassing. For us, it is only community if it includes all of the newly returned, the youth, the adults, the elders, and the ancestors, which includes the Creator, our oldest ancestor. Therefore, if there are no elders, there are no warriors, because warriors operate out of a cultural framework, their people's dynamic cultural framework. They are our historical instructed servants of the people who think, speak, and move using a cultural framework that has been politically charted through the ages and passed down from one generation to the next, regardless of interruptions. The elders, of course, are the current last holders of that wisdom as masters through which the people's collective past, contemporary conditions, and future possibilities. If there are no elders, there are no people. Only divisive, easily manipulated slaves, ever becoming more tightly entangled in the anti-African reality crafted by the enemies who needs it serves. It is only the infraction of Urugu's madness that makes it possible to imagine or to define communities outside the presence of elders. There are no warriors without elders. Heritage and family mean everything to me. Heritage and family mean everything to me. It's hard to fathom that there's some of us who don't want to believe that. There's many of us who believe that we're not at war. You know, we have to go along to get along. You know, and this is just as much ours as it is theirs. So we want to fight for it. We want to fight with legislation. We want to fight with voting. We don't want to fight for independence. We don't want to fight for self-determination. We don't want to fight for liberation. We don't want to fight for sovereignty. We want to be a part of what Urugu has. You know, I'm upset because I see these things, I listen, and I try to follow them where they might go so I can play them back, because a lot of them are good. They're little small vignettes, of course. Sometimes a couple of minutes, sometimes maybe a little bit longer. Sometimes not even that long, but they're impactful. And a couple that I wanted to play, one specifically, was this Caucasian talking about, you know, if Africans not going to deal with the land that they have, then we're going to take it back. We're going to recolonize Africa. I don't know who this cracker was, you know, and what authority he has, you know. But one thing for sure, we fight. We fight. We fight for that land. We fight for that culture. We fight for that history. Man, family. That's why, you know, we need to talk about the Pan-African Federalist Movement. That's why it's important that we do these things. It's important. Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I had an idea what I want to do. My computer is not acting right today. It's one of those kind of Mondays. It is a gloomy Monday here in the Atlanta area, family. It's going to rain all day, you know? Yeah. Oh, my good brother, Brother Irv, what's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, all you got to do is look over your shoulder, and I'll be standing right there, my brother.
Right on, brother. To the rescue. He's got my back, family. He's got my back, family. My co-host. My co-host.
Baba Oshi, remember this, if you remember nothing else. The best is yet to come.
I heard
that. We can talk about yesterday until we get red in the face, which I think we won't. But the best is yet to come. The God I serve is always turning the page for me and for everyone. That is brighter, is much brighter, regardless of what Arugu does. Arugu can't kill the spirit of the African. And see, because in actuality, we all of us come from Africa, bruh.
Yeah.
Everybody comes from Africa. So he can't understand that if he kills us, he kills himself. He's going to never kill the spirit. Because this planet, apparently from what Arugu tells me, this planet didn't have no people on it at one time. So it doesn't need people to exist. People need the planet to exist.
Oh, that's okay? Most definitely correct.
Come on now. So what Arugu doesn't understand is that Arugu doesn't control anything. And that's where I think American Africans kind of get confused into believing that that Arugu has so much control over us. The government tells us this and the government tells...
Right.
If the government had so much control, why do they keep telling me stuff? Why don't I already get it? They've been saying it for years. Why haven't we bent down on our knees and given in and submitted to this foolishness? Because, Baba Oshi, Arugu doesn't rule you. He's not in charge of anything. The only power that a person has over you is the power
That you give them.
Come on now.
The thing is that... You know, all the things a lot of people see has been created and directed by them. I mean, the technology. We may have created some things, but they are in control. And I think that's the issue. That's the part that our children see. And our children believe that there's nothing we can do. We just have to go along to get along. We have to acquiesce to what they're talking about and what they're doing. I disagree. We must raise our children to be warriors. We must raise our children to think in a way that puts us in a position to do for ourselves, you know. But our children, a lot of times, and, you know, what's hot, what's now, what's contemporary, what's now, you know, as opposed to doing things right now to prepare for a future and create a future based upon our past. That's the thing. Based upon our past. And many of us, you know, we begin our past in our captivity. You know, we don't realize the great past that we do have. You know, and we definitely don't want to begin it in Africa, because we've been trained to believe that something that is in Africa is inferior. Something that in Africa is there's no worth, you know. But isn't it ironic that everybody wants something out of Africa? You know, they want something out of Africa. They want the resources. They want the land. They want, you know, whatever it is that it can be taken. And some want to move there, because it is better than where they are. So,
you know, Brother Oshi, you know, I was waiting for you to slow down for a second, because everything you said is absolutely true. And Arugu goes, wherever Arugu goes, he takes what he believes is the best of the place and tries to leave the rest, like he did in the Caribbean islands. Those people over there got the queen on their money and all this foolishness, and they talking about they independent. And anywhere that Arugu goes, he tries to, and I've seen these old pictures on the internet where he's grabbing the breasts of the African women, and because they're sexual deviants, all of them are demons, and they're grabbing their breasts, and because the Africans had no clothes on, to him that was he's just nasty, just demonically nasty. I just gotta say it, brother. And this is their heritage. Yeah. So if your heritage, if that's your history, then history is not your strong point. So what you don't want us to do is learn our history.
Right.
Anything that American African created, a Caucasian took and took credit for it. Because they control the narrative. And how do they control the narrative? They control the media. They control media. The media controls the thought.
Right.
I mean, they played the national black and the national Negro anthem or whatever the hell that song was, the assimilation song. Lift every Negro and sing. I don't know what it is.
I missed that last.
I didn't see
night.
It. I read it. I didn't really watch it. I read it. Yeah. And the white people wouldn't stand up for it.
Of course not.
And Robert Oshie, let's be clear.
Of course not.
This reminds me of...
They have no respect.
And I'm going to tell you, and I never, ever put my brother down. I never put my brother down. And I try my best not to do it because I've been taught to do it like everybody else. Mm-hmm. But I wonder, the majority of the people there call themselves Negroes. They don't even know the second verse of the song. They don't know what the meaning of the song is. If it's begging for something, are we begging for something? Are we asking to be accepted? Are we taking what we want?
No,
because when we decide to stop bending over and please let us be Americans, and when we stop doing that, that's when we become strong. That's when our children look up to us, because you can't look up to a man when he's on his knees. Hold up, but we're gonna pray here for a second and look up to the ceiling and ask God to give us something. What God you talking about? The white Jesus on the wall? Or you talking about those things in Rome, in Italy, all those white statues of God and stuff? Is that what you're talking about? This pastor, this priest that just came out this Catholic church that's white? Is that who we asking for something? Because that's the imagery that we get. We get an imagery, and that imagery lasts for a lifetime, Baba Oshie. Mm-hmm. It lasts for a life, because something learned, it's hard to be unlearned. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But a feeling can come and go. I really felt good when I saw you, and then you left, and I didn't feel good no more. But if I learn to love a brother, if I learn to love myself, mm-hmm. it doesn't pass.
Right.
It doesn't just go away, because a learned feeling is a feeling that's forever. And when you know your history, when you know where you're from, then you learn your history. You learn that the Constitution wasn't written by Thomas Jefferson. He stole half that from the people over in Europe. You know that the Bible
took
comes
that
out
also
of
too from people that already here, the indigenous people. You know,
but
they have no origin. They have no originality. They are
none.
Cultural bandits. They are thieves and liars.
Thieves.
That's who they are.
That's right.
And that's what they will continue to be. Our problem is because they have been able to bullshit us so well that we believe them. We believe them.
Yes.
We believe their religion. We believe their form of government. We believe in their paper money. We believe in their way of doing. We believe in their cultural concepts, you know, of marriage and this, that, and the other. We believe in them. They have dictated to us. They impose whatever it is that they have on us and want to make sure that you know who gave it to you.
Come on now. And illustrate it at every chance they get. Even watching the movie Roots, they cut his foot off. That was symbolic of cutting Africa out of him.
Right.
Don't tell me that. We're going to cut this Africa out of you. How are you going to cut your, and I'm going to change your name. You got to have a name like us. And something you think is as small as a name has such an impact in your life when you're being called Tom Brown or Shaquille O'Neal or Charles at the King Charles. And I'm in Baltimore at the Lord Baltimore.
Yeah.
So I'm always thinking about the King of England, Calvert Street downtown, Lord Calvert. Why is Lord in front of your name? Mm-hmm. Why? What you God? Yeah, he's God over this land because he took it. Mm-hmm. But yet, you never show the American Indian on television having a Thanksgiving dinner with his children. Huh? Stay with me. Stay with me. You never see the Jewish, the Zionists, celebrating Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But you don't have a problem with that. You don't have a problem with that. Your religion contradicts other religions, but you are right with that. You're all right, and you won't die with that in your head.
Well, to the Christian, because they're so dogmatic, their religion supersedes all other religions. You know, their religion is believed to be historical. Everybody else's is a myth. Everybody else's fairy tale. But their shit is real. You know.
Even though
all of their stuff came thousands of years later. You know, but theirs is real. And unfortunately, it has been imposed upon us to such a degree that we believe it. It is all up and in Africa. It is all up and in other parts of the world. It is all up and in us here in this country with all these churches and so forth. They believe they've imposed it on us to such degree that nothing can change that. No amount of historical fact, nothing. No amount of authority from those men and women who did the research to reclaim and recapture and restore the history. Because if it refutes that, if it challenges that, then no. I'm not going to listen. You know, I'm not going to listen to that.
And I'm going to teach it to my children.
Yes.
Because my children are my legacy. And Baba Oshi, if you've been believing something for 60, 70 years, and then you realize that it's bullshit, all this came out of somebody's head, out of somebody's script. These people didn't exist. If it's 2024, what happened to the other 300,000 years? When did they start counting years? 2024 years ago? But the Earth's been here for 300,000 years. Why didn't they start counting back then?
Right.
AD, BC, all this confusion, and that's what King James wanted. When King James translated the Bible, he wanted it to be confusing. Because if it wasn't, why is this in Latin? I don't speak Latin. Why are the people in the Bible named what they are? Matthew, Luke, John, when it's an African, when these things come from Africa. Why weren't they named after Africans? But to ask why is blasphemy in itself in this religion. Because you're supposed to take it as is. Faith has no logic. I don't need to see Noah's Ark to know there was a Noah's Ark. But I know there was a Noah's Ark. And you know, Baba Kwaku would come at me with both feet on that one right there. Yeah. He said it's not. It's what you know, what you can prove, what's true. But what is proof? Is your lying eyes telling you one thing? Because, you know, I could take a picture and put you in it. But the one thing, Baba Oshi, and I'm going to stop after this if someone else wants to speak. The one thing that I know is true, and you can't tell me it's not true. I don't give a damn what book you read or what you don't read. The only thing I know in this world to be true is that time flies. That's it.
Yeah.
Because, Oshi, in a few minutes, this show will be history. That's it. Everything else can be manipulated. Everything else can be what you want it to be. But time flies. Time does not wait. Father Time catches everybody. You can't beat it.
No.
You can talk about it all day.
That's a definite truism.
That's it.
You know,
last night
they had, when they were going to present the Super Bowl trophy, the Lombardi mm-hmm. trophy, the first person who was walking with the trophy to be presented on the stage was Larry Zonka. Larry Zonka played fullback for the Miami Dolphins when they were the only team to go undefeated, 14-0, and win the Super
right.
Bowl. No other team has come. Well, the Patriots came close, but thank God the Giants beat them. Thank God the Giants beat him. Oh, God, I'm so happy. Thank God the Giants beat him. But then he handed the trophy off to John Elway. And then he walked up. And then he finally gave the trophy on the stage. And then, of course, the trophy was presented to the owner of Kansas City, a relative of Lamar Hunt, and the Hunt family, that's Hunt's ketchup.
With the sugar in it. Go ahead.
Right, and other products and other stuff that the Hunts did. But they had owned the Kansas City Chiefs for a long time. And then, of course, Lamar Hunt became big in terms of the AFL. And when the Jets beat Baltimore, they decided, let's combine these two. Because at one time, they were like, I don't know, man, because we getting, the Packers came in and just whipped the shit out of the Chiefs. And then they whipped the shit out of the Oakland Raiders. Maybe, no. When that happened, that's the one that changed the history. And then the following Super Bowl, Kansas City, Minnesota, Kansas City won. So right away it was tied up, two for the NFC and two for the AFC in the NFL. And that's the history of that bull, But the bottom line is, they are the ones that control that. They are the ones that, who staged this now event that is pure spectacle,
It's all it is.
Oh, man, this is, in fact, it is a holiday.
It is.
It is, because many people who have been out all night and drinking and at these parties and so forth.
Oh, yeah, spending money.
Yeah, so this day, many people call in sick. And in fact, it's given as a day that many companies will know that you are not going to be there on the Monday after the Super Bowl because of all the serious partying that takes place.
But Bob Oshie, quickly, let's flip the script real quick. Let's turn this in another direction, because they're never going to do this with the NFL or the basketball or baseball. They're never going to have the conversation because they don't want to put the seed in the head of the American African. Why don't we start our own league? If ain't nobody playing but us, why don't we start our own NFL? Why don't we start our own NBA? We got enough money. Let me say this.
The best time that could have happened was about 20 years ago when the NBA, when the owners, these white men of the
locked
them out. They didn't strike. It wasn't a strike. They locked the players out to save themselves from themselves. And to me, at that moment, you're going to lock us out? Hell with you. We're going to create our own. They could have gotten BET. They could have gotten some other black, and then some other black. I mean, they could have said, no, we're not playing in none of y'all shit no more. None of it. See how that works for y'all. See who wants to watch old white people play basketball. Even the Ivy League of today, Princeton, Yale, Harvard have black players. They have black players on football. They have black players. Even they recruit. Because why? We're the best athletes. We're the most electrifying athletes.
That's right.
But all of this athleticism, because we're really more than that, but because of all this athleticism, there's tons of money to be made by them. And even us. Even us, I'm not a real proponent of the name, image, and likeness thing, because that's only for a few. Some brother and sister who are able and who have some connections can take advantage of it. Some take advantage of it already making millions of dollars. Really. That's how deep that is. Some, of course, are in the tens of thousands because they got deals locally, with some company with name, image, and likeness. But that's bull.
If they allow you to make that much money, the image and likeness.
Yeah, imagine what they make.
Imagine what they make. They don't want to put this thought in the minds of young American African men.
That's right. Once you put
that thought in his head, and especially American Africans, I can do it.
Yeah,
I can do this. If I'm picking cotton, I can think of a better way to pick this cotton. If I'm milking cows, I can pick a better way to do it. American Africans have invented everything, and anything we do, we take over and we do it well. So let's not have the conversation about y'all owning nothing because we're too big. No, you're not too big. You started just like I'm starting. You planted a seed. The guy who started the NFL ain't see it get this big, and I'm not going to see it. The black league get big, but I will plant the seed in the head of the American African because we can do anything we put our minds to, and we do it collectively. Mm-hmm. What Arugu wants to do is the same thing he did in Africa. We're going to make y'all 54 countries so y'all can fight each other. And when they come over here, we're going to make all you black people different. We're going to give you one of this much money. Then we're going to tell you you're a Democrat and you're a Republican. And you're tall, you're light-skinned, you're short, and all this foolishness to keep us separated. But I'm telling you, my God, the God that I serve, keeps putting in my head, and I know God does it to everyone, the Spirit of the Lord. And you notice I try my best not to break bad habits, and I don't say he did this and he did that, because God is he to me, the God is an image. But women, why can't she say God is a she? If God is a spirit.
Yes.
But you say that yes. to a Christian. Oh, no, God's a man.
Of course.
God's a white man.
Of course.
He did it for me. And the prayer says that. Well, who wrote the prayer?
Because in Europeans, they're very hardcore patriarchal. Men dominate. Men dominate to such degree that really they don't want women. That's why homosexuality is rampant.
Right.
Men dominate. They didn't want women, man. Shoot, if they could have children without having women, and they can, with the artificial womb that was created, and they can, then, you know, they would get rid of women. They would kill them off, like everything else.
Oh, yeah, they don't need them.
You know?
Yeah.
Us as African people, we need each other. We understood from day one the importance of women and men together. From day one, that has always been who and what we are. We have a symbiotic relationship that is vital to the existence of humanity, of people, of family. You know, but to the European, you know, all kinds of, you know, deviations and decadence and all kinds of foolishness.
And it's demonic, my brother. And we don't want to say it. But the reality is when you live, not the reality, but what I think, I can't speak for nobody but myself. And I don't apologize for the way I think. But when you live in total hypocrisy, when your ancestors lived in hypocrisy, with the King of England, Queen of England, they even changed the color of their blood. They blue blood. They don't have red blood. They made themselves sit high and look low, and they were not worthy for that. They were just they were just like me. They bleed. They get headaches. They got to eat to live. They need water. But they wanted to make you believe that they were something different because they had guns. And they were able to work collectively to have their guns and their explosives and their killing machines. Because that's all this is about. It's about the killing. And then they do the hypocrisy where I'm going to give you a Nobel Peace Prize after I just sat here and invented all these weapons, invented dynamite. Then I'm going to give you a peace prize. Peace of what? But we ain't supposed to know that. We're not supposed to know because we aren't supposed to love history. Because if we start teaching our children history, then we're going to get to the truth. And what does the truth have to do with the facts, Bob Oshie?
I was watching this movie, The Omen, Damien. And it's a part of, I think it's like a two or three part. And, of course, he's a little boy in the initial one. And he causes all kinds of people to do crazy stuff to kill themselves, you know. But I think the last one where he's not a teenager, but he's a grown man. And there's something that struck me, you know, what it is that the Caucasian believes to himself to be both good and evil. He is all encompassing. He is both good and evil. He is to be looked at and praised and looked at and feared. He is all of that, you know. And so that's what I read. That's what I got out of that movie, that last one. I said, damn, you know, he really is considering himself to be the Alpha and the Omega.
The Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Because he's God. See, yeah. The Rugal thinks that he's God. Mm-hmm. That's why Rugal wants to, I'm going to give the women the right to have an abortion. You can kill another human being because we can use them stem cells so we can make some more vaccines or whatever they do with them. But my point is, Rugal thinks that he's God and he can control everything
sure.
that's in this world, including you. And the reality is, what I think Rugal doesn't understand is that you are no bigger than me. You can't exist without me. Why aren't you, if you don't love me that much, why don't you just do a Hitler thing and just kill all of us off? Because you can't.
Yeah. He can't do that. He can't do that. But the bottom line is he has destroyed enough of us, particularly mentally. And that is the greatest weapon that he has is that the menticide that we experience on a daily basis. That is the greatest. Let me give Brother get a caller in here, Brother Kevin.
Yeah, do that for sure. Yeah, come on, let's do it.
Brother Kevin.
Hey, how you all doing this morning?
We're doing well, man. How are
good.
You?
Good. I'm doing fine, man. Got things done yesterday. I didn't watch Super Bowl.
Oh, I didn't either.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got better things to do.
But look, right on.
It's on us. It's on us. You know, once we don't use the standard of other folk and use our own standards, we'll be okay. I mean, and I think you may have mentioned this before, Oshie. Jackie Robinson and his going into the majors, or what they call the majors, may have been one of the worst things that could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the Negro Baseball League during that time, their attendance was really great.
It was huge. Money was being made.
And they actually beat the All-Stars several times before they finally won a game, and then they stopped playing them.
Mm-hmm.
But we look at what other people do as being superior to what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple examples, and I'm going to get off. You had Deion Sanders, who went to the HBCU, started turning that program around, and then he left.
Mm-hmm. Which angered the hell out of me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you had Barack Obama, who attended Reverend Rice Church for 20-some years.
Yep.
But then when the presidency came up,
yep.
he threw the man under the bus.
Yep.
Now, if you really had your head screwed on properly, when someone like you and I, Oshie, someone says, look, you either choose between, you know, hanging out with me or hanging out with Oshie. And I just met this person a few days ago. For me to throw you under the bus doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But that's essentially what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this man is the godfather of his children. He married the two of them. And then someone from the outside, because you want that position so bad, you throw the man under the bus. And we have to get past that. Last thing. Dr. King, who I have a great deal of respect for, he could have been filthy rich.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided that he was going to fight for his people. Did he make some errors? Yeah, he did. But he was only 39 years old.
Mm.
And I make errors. I'm 70 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm still making errors.
Yeah.
That I'm trying to figure out, look back when I 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
You know, but the point is that this man who he put his life on the line to serve us. And when Coretta Scott King died, they wouldn't even allow Harry Belafonte to speak. And he was the person who supported their family after he died.
Right.
Mm. That's where we have to go. We have to look, support ourselves first and foremost, and accept the fact that our standards, if we determine that this is the truth according to us, then it's the truth according to us, and we don't use other people's standards, but we use our own.
Right on.
So that's all I've got.
Right on. Appreciate you, Kev. Hope everything is well with you, my dear friend, down there in Houston.
All right, then, brother.
All right, man. Take care. Peace.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a break, Brother Irv. This is interesting because I guess we're back to Brother Me and Irv co-hosting. And I appreciate you, man. I swear I do. But in fact,
hey, Oshi. Hey, let me just say right quick, congratulations.
Thank you.
To Casey.
Thank you.
To the half black man and to the rest of them. The bottom line is San Francisco lost. That's it.
All right, Jay. We'll catch you on the other side. All right, family. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us. You're listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You're listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. McFadden and Whitehead. Ain't no stopping us now. I'm telling you, family, there is no stopping us. There is no stopping us. The only one that stops us is ourselves. It's us. And the real reason why this stuff happens is because we don't have our right minds. We don't believe in each other. We don't trust one another. We don't love one another. We don't respect one another. We don't want to work with one another. We believe that what the European has told us about ourselves and each other. So we believe them and not us. These people have proven to be an enemy to us. Have shown us time and time again. Yeah, family. If we don't come out of this madness, we are doomed. Some say if it's already, we're already doomed. I don't believe that. I think we do have opportunity to get ourselves up out of this, but we have to act, and we have to act now in the best interest of our people, in the best interest of us as individuals, the best interest of us as family, the best interest of us as community, as nation, as a people. You know, I come on this radio program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I'm saying the same thing. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Because this is a wake-up call. I'm trying to put something on the minds of our people. It's just like when I was working in those schools and told those students, you know, I'm trying to put something on your mind. I'm trying to get you to think and think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have set on us. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. Some could argue that we do too because of them. But they believe that they are superior. And ain't a damn thing that we can say or do to prove otherwise. So stop even trying. Lead them to their own devices. Lead them to their own insanity. Leave them to their own destruction. Let us come up out of this madness and let's begin to close ranks, pull our resources, and do for ourselves. And we sit on the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without it, short of damn it, don't want to pay for. And we're losing them. I know we've been losing them for centuries. I understand that. So we can take it maybe a decade or two to lose, but we ain't got that kind of time. We really don't. Time is of the essence. Time is now. Are we going to be saying the same damn thing 2030? Well, shit, we said it 2020, 2010, 2019, 1920. Yeah. I'm saying there has to be that fundamental change in us. And that is something that we do collectively. We do that collectively. I don't know if any of you brothers and sisters, and tell me if you've been watching the MLK X series that's on, well, I catch it on Hulu. I don't know where you can catch it at, but I catch it on Hulu. And I don't like the brother portraying Malik El-Shabazz. I think his portrayal, I mean, he's got the red hair and so forth, but his betrayal is just so stiff, man, so mechanical, you know. And when I've seen Malik Shabazz on a number of film, because, I mean, he died when I was a teenager. He died in 63, February 21st. And, of course, me and Brother Muhammad Abdullah, we've been trying to get the brother that did the documentary, Who Killed Malcolm X. And I have a number that he gave me, a number that I've been calling it. And in fact, now it just goes to, it's been going to voicemail. And I left a message, but now you can't because he said his thing is full and won't take any message by. So, but I mean, we're going to do it regardless. And we'll use some of his findings. Because he did some good work. There's no doubt about it. And if you haven't seen it, I'm quite sure they'll probably show it coming up soon. You know, but this drama that has been in this series, they show the parallel lives of Malcolm. In fact, at the beginning of the piece is the time they were met up at the, they didn't meet, that they crossed paths at the airport. They crossed paths at the airport, and they took those iconic pictures of both of them shaking hands, smiling, you know. And that was it. There was contact by Malcolm to Claretta when Martin was going through what he was going through with the FBI and exposing him, threatening him, trying to get him to kill himself, you know, and so forth, exposing the women, you know, that he had extramarital, you know, that kind of thing. And thank goodness Sister Claretta, in their personal dealings, you know. Now, what they couldn't do is that Malcolm became a very principled individual. He was serious. I mean, maybe that's why they portray him in this series the way they do, which I don't like. Because I know, he was serious, you know, so forth, but he wasn't mechanical. He wasn't stiff, you know. But anyway, he couldn't be bought, you know. They came at him a number of times trying to get him to turn on Elijah Muhammad, especially after he broke away from the Nation. And of course, talked about the young women that Elijah Muhammad had. And there were many. And there were many. And so, but Malcolm wouldn't do that because he's not that kind of man. Malik Shabazz was not that kind of man. You know, I think that he was a model. He was somebody truly. And I ain't saying that Dr. King wasn't, because Dr. King is. He's also a model of a man to be emulated. But, you know, I tell you, that brother was great. Malcolm, Malik Shabazz was great. And I think for me, that's, you know, when I'm riding in the car with my mother and my cousin from Chicago, he came to Milwaukee. And I don't know where we were going, but I'll just never forget. I always thought I was on the east side when I heard it, you know, of Milwaukee. But I know I'm in the car and I'm in the back seat, and the news came on. It was early afternoon, like about 6-7 o'clock, early evening, excuse me. said that he was killed in New York in the Audubon Ballroom. And even though I remember that very well, it was because of Muhammad Ali and my love for Muhammad Ali. You know, sometimes I may get a hold of the, wasn't called the Final Call then, it was called Muhammad Speaks newspaper, to read about him or read about some things, you know, particularly him, because I loved Muhammad Ali. You know, but then I gained that love for Malcolm because in high school, I got in high school, the autobiography of Malcolm X came out, and it was something that many of our people would read. That's why the 60s, and particularly the latter portion of the 60s, the late 60s, became very pivotal for us. And when I think about it, It was a period that we could have made tremendous strides as a people coming out of America into Africa and the diaspora. But what happened was we believed these crackers. We believed in affirmative action. We believed that there were many of us who were seeking office and thinking that our presence and our appearance in office would change things, you know. We believed their lies. And we stopped striving for independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Even on the continent, when African countries, because also African countries were gaining independence around that time, family, you know. I just thought of when this cracker at the firehouse, you know, because, you know, their mindset is we're in, just like I saw that piece that I was trying to play today, talking about we're incapable of running anything, you know, and that white people need to come back to run it. It's just like some of these cities. Some of us yell about a Caucasian coming in, or in Detroit or in whatever. That's because of our minds. We still believe their lies. We don't do things to really help ourselves. Get in this call. I got my brother Irv, of course, is with me. And, of course, this weekend I'm leaving for Vegas for the funeral of my dear friend, Brother Everett Crowcroft. In fact, I'm leaving Thursday, so you'll be able to. Hey, Brother Irv.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Irv.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jay, hold on. Will you be available Friday, man, to help me out?
For sure.
All right, man. Yeah, because I'm gonna be in Vegas for the service for my good brother, Brother Everett Crowcroft, fellow firefighter. And
I was getting ready to say, was that the brother that was in the organization?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I saw that online.
Yeah. Did you?
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know him well, but I'm, you know, that's sad, brother. That
yeah.
He's gone on to the other side.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, the thing that's sad is he was great in great health when he left Milwaukee. He went to Vegas, and next thing I know, man, he started, you know, going down, and he built his home. You know, him and his wife, they built their home. It's beautiful and so forth. Unfortunately, he was not able to enjoy it the way that he should and could, you know. But he was.
And Baba Oji, that's why every day is a blessing.
Yes.
The time that I talk to you, the time that I talk to Jay, the time that I talk to Paul, the time that I talk to Brother Love.
Yeah.
These are the good old days.
That's right, brother. Right on.
These are the good old days. Yeah. So let's not take it lightly that you're going to be here tomorrow because you was here yesterday.
Yeah, right. It's not promised.
I mean, he built a house, didn't get it the time to enjoy it. appears that he didn't get time to enjoy it, but he enjoyed building it. The dream was what when I was in the fire department, all I dreamt about was leaving. The best part of the fire department for me was going home. The best day of the week was payday. I was just, man, I never bought into it, but I also understood that the fight wasn't for me, it was for my people. It wasn't for my people, it was for my children.
Yeah.
We got the legacy. Bubbles, I'm not going to be here forever.
No.
But the time I'm here, I'm going to shake it up.
Right, you're going to make a difference.
We're going to make a difference. I hear you talking about Brother Malcolm. And you know, Ruku always wants to soften Malcolm up, to make him into, well, eventually he did like white people, and he really realized that we all got to get along together.
See, that's how he talks. That's BS.
If you really study Malcolm, the one thing that they will never admit and say, Malcolm didn't really have the issues that they made him out to have. He just wanted white folks to be honest and to deal with their racism and murderous behavior. And like he said, before you could come help me, you need to go educate your damn people on how to act like human beings. You can't expect me to act like a human being and you the animal. You the one who acting like an animal. Go educate your community. Get them to change their behavior. Then we could talk. And you know, just like the reimagination of Martin Luther King, they want to try and reimagine all these years later, which is over 60 almost, of Malcolm. And it's basically BS, and we should not fall for it. And one of the things is that imagery plays a part in it, because I don't care what nobody says. I thought Malcolm X, the movie by Spike Lee, was trash. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to come out and say
you ain't alone in that.
It was trash because it was dishonest at a lot of levels that it shouldn't have been dishonest. And it was dealing in romanticism I grew up on the most pointed view of Malcolm was Like It Is by Gil Noble. I learned more about Malcolm from reading his book and listening and seeing the works that Gil Noble did by having those that were intimate with Malcolm and, you know, some other documentaries and things. But, I mean, that's just the way society is. We at the point now where we really, really want to be loved by white folk, incorporated into whiteness, that we have basically, in a lot of ways, cast aside mm-hmm. who we are. I'll give you a good example. The school that Umar Johnson always talks about in his card game. Yeah, I said it, card game. And the school of Baba Baruti. Baba Baruti is real. Baba Baruti has probably one of the finest African-centered schools in this country.
No doubt.
And all Umar has is a game, is a plaything. Where is it at? I mean, you know, I'm surprised, and I'm gonna say it, and I don't care who get mad about it. I'm surprised the United States government ain't never go after him for mail fraud. But then again, I hear he only takes cash; he don't take checks. Now, if that's the case, then, I mean, hey, I got to ask my boy that used to work for the IRS, what's the deal with that? Because do you just go after somebody for mail fraud that take check and not cash? Because the reality is, why the school ain't open? I mean, what's going on with it? And I'm one of the few people that could honestly say that there is a school. There is a physical building because I'm not going to mention his name, but one of our listeners, a regular listener, has met with Umar in regard to construction
That's true.
Or the building.
That's true.
And where has it gone? Why isn't the school open? But listen, Baba Rudy got a school that we are supposed to be supporting, because I don't care what nobody say. In the lineage of Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, as far as I'm concerned right now, and following their teaching to me, Baba Baruti is about as pure as they come in regards to moving forward that special African agenda.
Well, there's no doubt about that. He is beyond reproach. He is somebody who I have great respect and admiration for, somebody who I support wholeheartedly, and he supports me. You know, we're both sincere about helping African people. We're both sincere about African sovereignty. We're both dedicated and committed to helping Africa come into its full potential and African people, you know, driving that without anybody else involved. Nobody else involved but African people. So, you know, yeah, you're right. That, you know, Baba Baruti's had his school now for 30-some years, and it's small, of course, you know. And now he's also able to have some students outside of Atlanta, outside of Georgia, outside of the United States, you know, because of the technology.
You know what sad, Oshie, is in this society, when it comes to black people and how we service black people, it has become to the point where there's a dishonesty at point. It's just like, you know, Peabody Booty had one of the finest independent black schools it was at a time before he got caught up in that charter nonsense. You know what I mean? Once he got caught up in that charter nonsense.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Jay. There's a lot of background noise. So
hold on,
broke
a
up a lot.
Hold on a second.
He kept this behind him. James Comey's one line.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
sorry about that. Oh,
okay, so now, go back.
But the thing is, Hakeem Adebooty had one of the finest independent black schools
in Chicago,
at one
no
time
doubt.
In Chicago.
No doubt.
Before he got caught up in that charter nonsense. Now you have an independent school in Chicago that's probably the best right now, is Marcus Klein. But, you know, when you look at all that goes on in regards to black people, one of the biggest problems, in all honesty, is the non-factor of telling the truth and just calling a spade a spade. It's just like, you know, I don't know if you notice all of this madness going on with this clown Biden and his age. To be honest with you, it ain't really about his age. It's just that they don't want that nitwit black woman to become the president of the United States, but nobody won't say it. Nobody won't tell the truth that she ain't fit for the job. She ain't got the intellect. And she ain't got the smart, and she honestly ain't got the type of characteristics that one should deem to be the president. And I'll say it based on this perspective. Before she got appointed this position, she was the first person to drop out the race. Come on, let's be for real. She couldn't even get more than 4% of the Democratic population to vote for her. She's a joke. She's a clown. And the worst thing about it to me is she got a nasty tell. And I'm a poker player, so I know what tells are. And every time you put her up against the wall where she don't have the intellect to get out of being placed up against the wall, she got a he. Get out of here. She's a joke. But listen, getting back to the point.
Well, one of the things about her is that he has to keep her. Because of the voting block that she represents, which is the most dedicated and committed voting block American African women.
I questioned that, OC. I questioned that.
You questioned. You questioned that.
Educated. You know why I questioned it? I tell you why I questioned it. This is why I questioned it. And think about it, because Irv may agree. They don't get a damn thing for it. What do black people get for their vote?
Well, that is.
Be honest.
Well,
be honest.
Listen, Jay, stop. Hold. You damn right we don't. No matter who the group is, it could be the fraternities, let alone the sororities. It could be those in management. There could be those in the clergy. It could be all of that. So you're right. But the bottom line is, he can't do anything to mess that up in terms of a voting black, because it's more than just American African women. That's the stronghold, but it's more than that. Let him do that. Let him say, I'm kicking her ass to the curb, and I'm getting this another cracker.
Yeah, but think about this, that is absolutely a fact. But those that are attacking him, those that are saying he's too old, senile, and all that. And yes, I do believe he has a slight case of dementia, and it's growing and developing. Yes, because I have family members who have dementia, and he shows a lot of the signs. The fact of the matter is, those that are attacking them, why can't they just be honest that my white ass don't want to see that niggerish as the president of the United States? Because I'll make the prediction today. If he gets back in the office, he won't be there no longer than 2 years because of the type of pressure that they'll put on him, and his wife ain't going to be able to do a Nancy Reagan with what she did with Reagan, because of the simple fact the media is too vicious and too broad.
Oh, yes.
In
oh,
a sense. So
definitely.
She won't be able to cover for his ass.
Right. You look at...
So
you look
the reality
at,
is, who's next to line?
You look at... Hold on. You look at the history... Particularly, let's just go to FDR. Many people didn't know that he was, in a wheelchair. They had no idea.
Yeah.
Number one, because you didn't have television the way they have it today. But even
right.
but even JFK and his illness. But today, especially somebody like Biden or any other president,
yeah.
It could be like Trump. No, there is no respect for those. In fact, whatever dirt I can come up, I don't give a damn how old your senile ass is. I'll shove that dirt all over you. You know?
Yeah,
I'll
but
dig it all up.
You know something? You know something? Trump has the same dementia.
Yes.
Dementia also.
Yes.
And the thing is, he may be exposed quicker because of the simple fact he ain't got his BI. To protect him. His wife don't want to be around him. She stay as far away from that trash as she can.
Right.
So she's not like Jill Biden protecting him,
right.
Cuddling and doing all of those things in regards to the clown. But the bottom line is this. Black folks are supposed to be his number one protector, number one ally in all of this. I just asked this simple question. What's your black ass getting for it? He ain't going to really talk about reparations. Now, I'll give it till March to see what the reparation game is going to be. But like I say, ain't nobody giving y'all Negroes reparations. Y'all need to stop thinking about it, talking about it, and come up with something else as far as an agenda for black people moving forward. I'm just saying it.
Go ahead, Irv.
Let me say this.
What we're not going to do is we're not going to be like Arugu. Arugu will sit here and talk about his brethren like a dog. I mean, drag him through the streets. Man, that way, Biden ain't this and Trump ain't that. But we're not going to drag this sister through the shit. I know she ain't what she should be or never will be. She talks black, but she sleeps white. And I got that. And we all know that. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to take another black person on this radio show and drag them through the mud. We all in this mud. We all down here together.
Ain't none of us. Is she really black?
Hey, wait a minute. Well, whether she's black or not, she says she's black, and I know what she is.
Identifies.
And you do too.
She identifies with being black.
But let's talk about that in private. We don't talk about that on this air, because what happens is Arugu's listening to us talking about each other like they do the Zimbabwe people to the Nigerian people. And we're falling into that trap. I know what a sister's doing, and she knows what she's doing. But when you don't get nothing, Jay, I don't get nothing. Oh, she doesn't get anything. We all in this together. And I ain't saying I got the answer to it, and neither do you. We're sitting back with some popcorn, and we're watching the show, because black people are watching white people implode. They are imploding. Why do you think Trump's wife is so far back from him? Because when that shit bubble that he's in blows up, it's going to get on everybody. Trump is a
walking can I ask you this ball. Question, Irv, so, in regards to what you're saying? Can yeah. I ask you this one question, Irv? Do you really think, and honestly, do you really think that black people that don't see the world like we do really agree with that? With what you're saying? Even though I understand what you're saying,
right,
I respect
right.
what you're saying, and you're right. I shouldn't do it. But think that black people see the world on those terms?
They should.
Do they really understand the dilemma that we are as a people? And you're right. I shouldn't say it.
They
I shouldn't
should.
Point it out. And I respect that. Not only that you are elder, but the fact is you're right. But the thing is, you got so many people out here who get caught up in this game,
Good point.
People like me and you.
Good point. But when I get hurt, when they hurt me, they hurt themselves. And Jay, just like you just understood what I said, and we were able to disagree without being disagreeable, that right there is a learning, that's a teachable moment. And that's what this whole show is. This whole show is a teachable moment. Every time Oshie gets on, he starts telling you something about revolutionary thought. He doesn't sit here and tell you about the stock market. He can give a damn what Trump is doing. He tries to teach. And Brother Jay, every time you open your mouth, I learn something from you, whether you know it or not. I learn something.
Same for you, brother.
And that's a good thing. And if I'm learning something, and I ain't got nothing but a high school diploma and a driver's license, I know other people can learn. So we have to try our best to keep this in the vein, not necessarily positive, because everything positive don't need to be said, but we need to say it in a different genre, in a different environment. Because if you don't think white folks are listening to this show, you lying to your damn self. They are listening to us, they are analyzing us, and they don't want more of us to happen, because the more people that listen and think like Baba Oshie, the more afraid white people get, because they start to say, wait a minute, these people are starting to talk like Jay, and I don't want them to talk like Jay. I need them to keep talking like Thomas and you know, Carson and Tucker Carlson and all these fools. So my brother, what I'm saying to you is, people, what you say is so truthful. It is so truthful. I'm serious, man. You hit your mark. If you're trying to hit a mark, you hit it. But we have to make sure that we don't alienate our brothers and sisters, so that they think, oh man, he don't care. I mean, I don't. It's not that I care about my brother. I love my brothers.
I love
black people. Come on now. So we got to stay in that vein. If you can't, be who you are. I'm not trying to make anybody anything that they don't want to be or anything. Whatever.
Yeah,
I'm just.
Hey,
you gotta do you.
I'll be a little more restricted as one would say, because I know within the next 18 minutes, we're going to get a stern lecture within the next 18 minutes as I get off this phone and go on mute from the monkey. So I'll just listen. For our third lecture from the monkey. Talk to you later. Put me on me.
He had to do it.
Yeah.
He couldn't help
himself. I know. He can't help himself, man. He can't.
He can't help himself.
He can't help himself. Brother Ted Luss, Brother Ted Luss, how are you doing, man? Thank you for sending me information,
fine.
Brother.
I'm fine, and peace and blessings to everyone that's on the line. And you know, I'm multitasking as I'm listening, but I'm also learning in through this conversation. And so even though I may not be participating as strongly as the others, but I am listening and I am learning. And I kind of ask the question of myself, is there a way that I could have a conversation without bringing up Urugu at all?
Yes.
What does that sound like? What do I need to say? How do I need to formulate my words in order to put myself in a kind and type of discussion that I will not at all bring up Urugu or European or Caucasian or anything at all? And I'm curious. So as I'm listening, best believe I'm learning too as well. So thank you for picking my call
right
and continue to listen and continue to learn, Bubba Ocean.
Right on, Brother Ted Luss. Appreciate you, dear brother. Sure do. Peace.
Oh, that's a man. Beautiful.
Mama Nabantu, are you with us?
Yeah.
How you doing, Mama Nabantu?
I'm good. Man, y'all is crazy.
And you're right.
Man, yeah, they listening. So yeah, we need to curb a little bit of how we present ourselves on this platform. And I think that more solutionist kinds of things, you know, and like Brother Madison, who just passed away from Sirius XM, he would always say, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than talking about what somebody else is doing, what somebody's not doing.
Right,
what
man,
are
you
doing,
doing?
To make
that
a difference?
Yeah.
Brother OC is doing something here to make a difference, to make people aware. So you, each of us on this platform, this call need to ask ourselves, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And not sit up there and talk about what somebody is not doing. And that's my comment for the day.
I say.
Thank you, Brother.
Thank you, Mama Nabantu. Appreciate you, dear. Is this Brother Paul?
Bubba Ocean.
What's up, Brother Paul? How you doing, man? How you been?
I say, Bubba, I'm alive and kicking, and as long as I'm alive and kicking, it's a better day. And I always strive to do a little bit better each day. So let me extend my courtesy to the Most High and give thanks for life.
Ashe, right on.
Absolutely. But what now? You know, I've said what Brother says before. You know, I've said that we've got to have a month where we don't talk about white people. But what I do realize is that some of us are so addicted to talking about white people, so addicted to politics, that we're worse than crack addicts. We can't get out of it. We're addicted to white in a shame-based alliance, and that's what it is. So, when, you know,
that is a hell of a quote, ain't it?
I give the maximum respect, right, to what that brother said, Brother Ted, I think you call him, you know, because it's so true. But I realize the addiction is so crazy that we can't help but talk about Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. We can't help but talk about crazy-ass Trump. We're just so addicted to it.
Yeah.
And we're in that alliance. We are, you know, so I suppose we've got to deal with our people. Bubba, can you hear that interference?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. How you have that English monkey phone up this radio station? Oh, man. How do you do it? Why do you let that English monkey, man? And you imagine that English monkey phone up this radio station speaking English. How dare he, man? How dare he, come on, man. You see, this crazy, man. It's just absolutely crazy. But you know what I'm going to take you to, Bubba Ochi? Something more serious than that crap. You know, did you hear about that brother from Africa, the banker who died in the air
plane
crash?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was with a marathoner, a young brother who was a marathoner. Yeah. I read about it.
That brother was a founder of Access Bank. You familiar with Access Bank?
Access Bank? No, I am not.
Yeah, Access Bank. He co-founded Access Bank. the biggest bank in Nigeria, okay?
Wow, okay. And,
right, this is why you got to understand what's going on here, yeah? Now, I can't understand this because we just had the African Cup. You know about, I don't know if you know about that, familiar with the African Cup.
No.
It's more of a, what we call football, you call it soccer. Well, it's the biggest outside the World Cup is the biggest cup. It's all over Africa. Every African
Cup. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, right. Okay, it's a big soccer
absolutely.
Match.
African Cup. I don't know why all of a sudden they choose to have it on the same day as the Super Bowl. I don't know who came up with that, but that's kind of crazy. But, you know, most of us over this side of the water and around the world, we were more focused on that.
Right.
The African Cup. But
no doubt.
Strange enough, I mean, this is so strange to me. Him being from Nigeria, obviously educated in America and Nigeria, being co-founding a bank will become the biggest bank in Nigeria, and then taking his family to see the Super Bowl. I mean, I can't work it out in my head. Why would you go there? And the bottom line, in he take his child, he take his wife, and some other people. And they all die in a helicopter crash.
Was a helicopter?
You know, so what I'm saying is, we need to just address our mind to what's going on here, Baba Ochi, because some would look at what they're telling us and say, okay, he died in a plane crash, but some would might say that they probably took him out.
Yeah,
you all get where I'm coming
right.
from because
oh, no
look,
doubt. Yeah,
they don't want us to rise. Man. No. I mean, I don't know who took him out. I don't know who took him out. Right, I'm not saying it was even one of the notorious three-letter agencies or maybe some person in his country. I don't know. But you got to look at these things. This was the biggest bank in Nigeria. And you know what he planned to do? He planned to open up a university. He wasn't just one of them sell-out Negroes who just go up the top and they just don't forget about the people behind them. No, he was going to build a university, the biggest university in Nigeria, and correspond with an education facility in America and link the two. That was one of his ideas. And now he's gone. At the same time as Super Bowl. You got to look at these things, Baba Ochi. You know?
Hold it out. There's no doubt.
I just asked you to.
Because see, the thing is that when you have forward-thinking Africans, whether they're on the continent or anywhere in the diaspora, if they're forward-thinking Africans and they sometimes would go contrary to what is dictated by the dominant or oppressive society, they'll take you out. That's proven. That's historic. And it's going to happen still today. If you don't protect yourself, if you don't surround yourself, you know, and in fact, the way the technology is, anybody can be hit at any time. You got drones.
Right.
You got drones. You got all kind of snipers. You got all kind of, you know, it's crazy. But that's what it is.
You
so,
know, my daughter used to work as an air hostess, my oldest daughter, yeah? And she told me one day, she said, Dad, you know when they lift off the plane, you know that they don't fly. He says, once it gets up in the air, he says they put it on autopilot until it lands. But now they've got technology, they can control the plane from anywhere on the planet. You know, via satellite, they can control that plane. So, you know, what I'm saying is, this is the point I'm trying to make, Baba Ochi. The war we face, and I'm going to say it again, is a global war.
Yes.
It's not just in America, as long as it's a global struggle. And they, like Malcolm X says, they do it in the macro and they do it in the micro. What they do internationally, they do nationally. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same plan. Like the sister said, it's the same playbook everywhere. And, you know, last thing I say, if we don't understand that playbook, here comes the lecture, Uncle Ruckus. If we don't understand the playbook, if we don't understand it and get it in our heads, we make them they can go into America and think America's there to help us when they're going to take us out if we really any advantage in the world. If we have to say, if we've got the biggest bank in Nigeria, don't go to America because those notorious free agencies will have you. Take care, Baba Ochi. Keep up the good work and keep the fire burning.
I say, thank you, Brother Paul. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Brother Paul.
Yeah. I tell you, y'all stop it. Paul and Jay, y'all stop this shit.
Brother Ochi, your show is on fire, brother. It's on fire. And I'm a fireman, so I know.
You know fire. That's right.
I know fire when I
that's
see
right.
one.
I know fire.
Thank you, Brother Paul.
calls, Brother Jay. Thank you, Brother Love. I appreciate everybody
you know,
calling.
Herb got jokes. Herb got jokes. Really, I'm not gonna say anything at all. All I can say is Godspeed.
Godspeed.
Godspeed. Brother Lush, you want to get in here, man?
Yeah, real quick. There was a story that came out of Atlanta area about a doctor who actually committed a medical decapitation. Do you know any more about that?
I have not heard this. I have not heard that. I haven't seen it. On the news feeds, I haven't seen it in Facebook or any other news feeds, you know. So no, I haven't heard about this.
The baby.
Yeah, Mama Nabantu, go ahead. Have you heard about this?
I heard that a decap. Well, what's the word? Decapitation.
Decapitation.
Of a baby.
Oh wow!
When a baby was delivered, they. Accidentally pulled too hard on the head and separated
and ripped the head off
from the baby.
Uh-huh.
And they tried to cover it up, but they got caught.
Good.
I saw that.
Good.
What you call them charged them with murder?
And the parents were on. I think they're suing the doctors in the hospital.
Okay.
Especially because they tried to cover it up.
Where did that happen at here?
The medical examiner said it was murder.
Okay.
Yeah, the coroner. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He said it was murder. I don't know if they charged them yet, but like she said, the parents are definitely suing them and everything. And you know, I mean, that's what this whole abortion issue has really boiled down to is like most things is. The lack of truthfulness about what it really is. You know, it leads to murder, death, and all of these things, but society doesn't want to address it. And, you know, it's sad, man.
Yeah.
These are American Africans?
More than likely.
Yeah, they're American Africans.
Yeah, more than likely in Atlanta.
Let me tell you something from experience. You never recover from the loss of a child. It could be 30 years later at some point in time, it hits you. It always does. It could come out of the blue, to be honest with you. You know, when that happens. So I can just imagine what two parents are going through, knowing what they tried to, that they tried to deceive them and all of that, man, right. It's tragic.
Well, you know, a woman who makes a decision, and even if she makes a decision with the father of that child, has an abortion, and when she has an abortion, many of them get over it and move on with their lives. They don't feel that they really killed a human being, you know, and they get on with their lives, and they wind up having children later in life. Maybe they think about that. Maybe they think about that child and so forth, but they begin to move on with their lives, you know.
Yeah, but Oshi, that situation wasn't abortion.
No,
that
was murder.
That was a birth situation.
Right. Yeah. It was a birth.
Yeah,
There's a difference. I'll put it to you like this. I didn't have abortion, but I also lost the kid. So, and I'm telling you, it's a different emotion.
Sure.
They're not the same emotion.
I would agree with that, Jay. And that's kind of the point I'm making as well. I agree with that. You know, that's too bad that you know, they were trying to guide the baby's head out, you know, which of course something that I've done.
And I've done. on the street.
Yeah. In a car.
Yeah. Come on now.
In a hallway. Yeah.
Come on now. I'm delivering the baby.
Well,
I took out frozen gizzards and chicken livers and that's the best I've ever guided out.
Let me hold on now. Brother Ted, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so very much, Mama Nubatu. I just need to do my homework and do some more reading on this story. So thank you all so very much for
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Because I had no idea, so I appreciate you bringing it in to our attention, man. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, we got Sister Abia just jumped in the mix before we get out of here. Sister Abia, how are you today?
Yeah, it was a really, really great program today. I was in and out. It was great. And particularly, I thought Paul really contributed some real significant about what was going on with the brother in Nigeria.
Yeah.
I had heard about that. And you said, what is he over here in the United States in a private jet? And I feel like it was something sinister, too, going on, because he was really going to do some great things for our people and in Nigeria in the school. So we just give out our shades to him.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, I think it's, you know, it's diabolic. You know, a lot of our it is mysteriously just going like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to say that, and I know we need to try to see if we could get information about it. And about that case, I'm familiar with this case about the sister, the poor baby. They were two young, beautiful black couple. The mother was very short and mm-hmm. had a heavy baby.
Mm.
And she went in, and my understanding is she went over to it was Southern Regional Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The baby was alive and well. And, you know, and then supposedly had a shoulder dystocia where the head, you know, the shoulders don't come out and it's dislarges.
Right.
There's maneuvers that you really should do for that.
No, there and is. Then, and you're right.
And there's understanding
because a lot of times you got to reach in there because the umbilical cord may be wrapped around the baby's neck. So as you're trying to guide, you see, you're not supposed to pull nothing. It's guiding.
Well, it's a set of series that you need to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it doesn't work, and it's
right.
impacted, then you do a
specific Well, listen Abby, I'm going to. Okay.
You have to wait an hour.
Yeah. Listen, Sister Abby, I want to play this before. I want to play this particular piece before I go off. So I appreciate you. Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Hold on. Just listen.
Okay.
Just listen, family.
It's time for us to just put the imperial hat back on to say we're going to govern those countries if you're incapable of governing yourselves. Because enough is enough. We're done being invaded.
Because our own national security risk.
Exactly.
National security interests are at stake.
You can say that about pretty much all of Africa. They're incapable of governing themselves and benefiting their citizens. Because the governments there are all about looting and pillaging and lining their pockets and going shopping in Paris instead of actually
all right, hold
making
on a second.
Country
hold
a
on.
Better
People
better
on the left are going to watch this. They're going to say, wait a minute, Eric Prince is talking about being a colonialist again.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, family. Yeah, we'll deal with this. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate all of you who called and all of you who have listened. I definitely do. I respect that and truly appreciate it. So we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotel, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Okay, family? I will see you on Wednesday. Peace.